From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Drug companies do everything they can to promote their products. Doctors are supposed to prescribe a drug only if it's best for the patient. Sounds simple enough, but a controversy over a drug to treat life-threatening infections is raising new questions about how drug companies influence what doctors prescribe. NPR's Richard Knox reports.
This is a story about something called practice guidelines, pronouncements about how doctors should treat disease A, B, or C. Now, guidelines are nothing new, but they're gaining more force because of a drive to get doctors to practice according to the best scientific evidence, not just their individual judgment.
This is an emerging idea that is aimed totally at improving health care and improving outcomes for patients, which, of course, we would all be 100% behind and completely support.
Dr. Robert Danner is an infectious disease expert at the National Institutes of Health, although in this case he stresses he's speaking as a private citizen. Danner and two of his NIH colleagues are critical of the way guidelines were developed to treat sepsis, a complication of infections that kills an estimated 500 Americans a day. They state their case in this week's New England Journal of Medicine. One of their main targets is Eli Lilly and Company, which makes the only approved drug for sepsis. Another are physicians funded by Lilly to write the guidelines for treating sepsis and for using Lilly's drug, Zygris. Zygris costs $8,000 to treat a single patient. Lilly hoped it would be a blockbuster with sales of at least $1 billion a year. But after 5 years on the market, sales are only $200 million. So Danner says Lilly took some unusual steps.
The company took a very aggressive approach trying to move this drug up the food chain.
First, the company hired a PR firm that devised a novel message that doctors were being forced to ration Zygris because of its high cost. That message was promoted by a newly formed task force on ethics that Lilly then funded to the tune of almost $2 million. Next, a group of physicians, many with financial ties to Lilly, founded something called the Surviving Sepsis Campaign. Lilly provided the great majority of the funding. The campaign's first task was to formulate new practice guidelines for treating sepsis. No fewer than 11 medical groups endorsed the new guidelines, but the influential Infectious Diseases Society of America did not. Dr. Naomi O'Grady chaired the panel of the Infectious Diseases Society that reviewed the guidelines.
Let me choose my words carefully. This guideline really, I believe, was designed to promote a product.
O'Grady says her panel felt the guideline was developed hastily and did not properly weigh the evidence for Zygris. The committee also didn't like the fact that Lilly funded the process.
I really don't think that there's a place for industry in guideline development. That process needs to be free and clear of industry influence and support.
Eli Lilly spokeswoman Judy K. Moore insists that the company did not mastermind the ethics task force or steer the guideline writing process. It was only coincidence, she says, that the ethics task force and the Surviving Sepsis campaign used the same PR firm, Belsito & Company.
We did not intend for or direct Belsito & Company to act on Lilly's behalf in this regard. Lilly did not recommend that they hire Belsito, and Lilly gave a grant to these groups, and off they went to do their work.
But Lilly says it's taking the criticism very seriously. Dr. Mitchell Levy of Rhode Island Hospital chaired the Ethics Task Force and is a leader in the Surviving Sepsis campaign. He says there's nothing wrong with drug company funding of these efforts as long as everybody's open about it.
In an ideal world where there was enough NIH funding for purity, it would be great to not have to use industry funding.
Levy is working with a respected Massachusetts firm, the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, to turn the complex treatment guidelines into a boiled-down version that hospitals pledge to implement. Many believe this sets the stage for how doctors ultimately will be paid, that is, according to whether they adhere to treatment guidelines. Robert Danner, one of Eli Lilly's critics, says this gives drug companies an even greater motive to influence guideline writing.
Instead of you needing to convince, cajole individual physicians to use your drug, a large third-party payer essentially mandates that every physician in their system use this drug or they will not get paid at the same rate that somebody who does.
The Institute for Healthcare Improvement says it did not realize until this week the extent of Lilly's support of the guideline writing process. Richard Knox, NPR News.